Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for the 22nd of November in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country. Wow, we got a lot going on. Our first guest last hour, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, doing a phenomenal job. We are celebrating Thanksgiving all week long because I know there's trouble in America, and I know we've had trouble in the past, and I know that if you look at America negatively, you will see all kinds of problems because we're not a perfect people. But I submit to you and I maintain on the whole, America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you right now, folks, more people have been blessed with the principles of freedom and liberty and freedom to worship and freedom to move about. The list goes on and on. And then ever before in history, we provided liberty, ladies and gentlemen. And I know the road to freedom for all of us has been tough. There's been some missteps, no question. Let's not deny those. But let's not focus on those and not look at the whole. The whole of it is America's incredible. People are coming, not leaving. They're begging to be here. Why? Because it's fantastic. Yes, we've made missteps. Let's acknowledge them so we don't repeat them. But let's not dwell on them. Let's celebrate and be thankful all week long. That's just what we do right here on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. It is about God, family, and country. It is about the protection of life, liberty, and property. It is about the checks and balances that made America great. It is about rejecting revolution and standing for peaceful restoration of America. Pete Sepp, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, sir, and welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, Sam. So glad to hear that you had some of our good friends, our mutual friends from Campaign for Liberty on recently.
Roger that. We have them on every Monday doing a phenomenal job on your radio. All we do is have incredible guests like you and Campaign for Liberty and all kinds of just tremendous people from organization after organization really standing up for the principles of liberty. That's who we are and what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Sepp happens to be the president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU. NTU is the voice of America's taxpayers, ladies and gentlemen, mobilizing elected officials and citizens on behalf of tax relief and reform. It's a huge job over there at NTU.org. We're grateful for them and grateful for their partnership and involvement. Pete Sepp, there's so much going on in Washington, it's hard to break this down for a minute. So you've got the Build Back Better Act. You've got the, I don't know what you want to call it, the infrastructure bill. You've got a bill they just passed. It's hard to know what they're passing and what they're doing. They're huge bills, though, trillion-dollar plus bills. But yet it's hard for Americans to even understand what bill we're passing, much less what the heck's in it, right?
Yes, and it's just as hard to keep optimistic about the chances for taxpayers to push back against this bad legislation. After all, the so-called infrastructure bill, that's the BIF, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Framework, as they call it, that's been signed into law. That's $1.2 trillion worth of spending over a decade. There was some bipartisan support for it. Almost all of it is going to be tacked on to the national debt, which is racing past $29 trillion, will likely hit $30 trillion soon, and will go even higher because of that infrastructure package. Congress.
Now, let's
could
be clear,
easily...
that infrastructure package was just passed by the House and signed by the president recently. The Senate, though, what, passed it a couple months ago?
Several months ago, actually. It's hard to believe how quickly time has passed, because I said the same thing to myself. Well, the Senate must have acted on that in August or September. No, it was even earlier than that. The House of Representatives... And the House of Representatives leadership has been playing games, basically holding that bill hostage to try and get a vote on a $6 trillion social spending package. That's since been whittled down to $3.5 trillion. And now what the House just recently passed, the so-called Build Back Better Act, clocks in at about $1.3 trillion of new federal spending. But there are gimmicks in that package that make it a lot more expensive than its advertised price tag. The point is, we are whittling down these packages despite the gimmicks, and we stand a chance of defeating it entirely because the U.S. Senate gets its turn at voting on what the House just sent to them in that Build Back Better package.
All right, so there's BIF. What's that thing called, the infrastructure bill? Is that what we nickname it?
Yes, they call it the BIF, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Framework.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. BIF, or the infrastructure, whatever you want to call it. Now you got the Build Back Better Act. $3.5 trillion. I know that's whittled down from there once, but have we really spent that much with so much reckless abandon ever before?
No, and the inflationary impact is actually starting to become a concern here. You know, I'll be honest, Sam, that there's not always a direct straight line connection between more federal spending and higher inflation. It can depend. History has shown that. But all the historical factors point to this new spending contributing to inflation in a big way. Number one, you're spending more money than ever has been spent before. You've got American Rescue Plan Act, CARES Act. You've got Build Back Better trying to get passed, the BIF that just passed, trillions of dollars that have just been either passed or proposed. And you're doing it in a very compressed time frame, barely the space of a year for most of these bills. And on top of that, there is no unpent demand among consumers. In other words, in the past, Keynesian economists have poured government money into the economy to get people to basically demand more goods and services, spend more, et cetera. It's already there. And so what the government is doing is pouring gasoline on a fire. And even the Congressional Budget Office very recently said that all of this new federal spending is definitely a contributing factor to inflation. It's about to get a lot worse if we don't put the brakes on this Build Back Better plan.
All right, so let me kind of make sure I understand this then, because I'm not very smart. This is confusing as all get out. Biden signs $1+ trillion infrastructure bill into law. That's already law.
Yes.
Build Back Better Act now waiting on the Senate, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I want to really highlight that because it's very confusing when they use these different terms for things, BIF and Build Back Better and infrastructure and bipartisan and this and that and that. But what they're really doing is spending us into oblivion. Do you think we can stop the Senate on the Build Back Better Act, or do you think we're in trouble there too?
I think we've got a good fighting chance. Now, a lot of media attention has been focused on two Democratic senators, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Kristen Sinema of Arizona. We have to remember there is currently a 50-50 tie between Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Only Vice President Kamala Harris can break a tie if both political parties line up in total unity for or against a bill and there are no crossovers. So the Democrats cannot afford to lose any defectors from their own party in the Senate on the Build Back Better bill. And both Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema have expressed grave reservations about the legislation. In fact, they had said that they wouldn't even tolerate any new spending at one point. The problem there is when push comes to shove, as we saw in the House of Representatives, some Democrats can lose their nerve and just go along with the party. And we've got to make sure that there's at least one Democrat among the 50 in the Senate willing to say, no, the future of America is more important than any immediate political fortune of my own party.
Now, in this first bill that already passed, are we going to call that one BIF, right?
We'll call it BIF.
BIF. All right, B-I-F. Okay, that already passed, ladies and gentlemen. Understand this. The other bill coming up has not passed yet, and we have a fighting chance to stop it. But here's the point to remember. 32 Republicans literally backed the first spend. And so I hope we can get enough people to stop this other one. But you had a few Democrats support the rejection of these bills. But for the most part, the Republicans made it happen. Pete?
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately so. And we don't think that's going to happen this time around. There do not appear to be any Republicans among the 50 in the Senate who are willing to back this Build Back Better plan. That means it's all up to Democrats. If they get all 50 members of their caucus to vote for it, then Kamala Harris walks in and casts the tie-breaking vote. If they get one defection, no, the bill dies.
Well, and that's the hope, right?
Yes, absolutely. And again, everyone is saying, well, it comes down to Manchin and Sinema. Not necessarily. There are a couple of other Democrats of a moderate bent in the Senate, like John Tester of Montana, for example, who might be persuaded with enough pressure from their constituents to say, you know, we spent far more than enough money already. Let's put the brakes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Pete Sepp with us, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. We have a say. Let's make sure we exercise our involvement to make sure that we're clear on what we want and don't want. This is our country. Never forget it. Pete Sepp in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You live, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp with us, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, doing a phenomenal job as always this Thanksgiving week. Be thankful, even though it seems rough. Be grateful for all that we have, ladies and gentlemen. Gratitude is one of the great keys to cheerful people and focusing on what's important. But remember that it's our country, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that. Now, I think Biden's plan is a three-pronged spending plan, is it not, Pete?
Yes, it is. And we have to remember, too, that these are not the only pair of bills that have been spending gobs of federal money over the past several years. In fact, under Donald Trump, we had the CARES Act, which was several trillion dollars. That was supposed to be the one and only bill to get us through this very, very deep recession in 2020 and the pandemic. Well, Along comes 2021. We've got the American Rescue Plan Act that passed earlier this year, several trillion dollars more. We just had the so-called BIF, another trillion or so. And now we're at Build Back Better. So this is a series of bills. Fortunately, we've been whittling them down as they've gone through the legislative process. And while that may not seem like much, to paraphrase what you just said, Sam, we have to be grateful for the tools available to us to help at least shape policy in a less destructive direction. That's what we're doing here. Look at the fact that in the House, there was a plan to have snooping with the IRS into every person's bank account above a balance of $600. There would be new reporting requirements. And even House Democrats, two dozen of them, wrote to their leadership and said, you know what? The public pressure on us is just too much to support this. And that got kicked out of the bill. Liberty won a victory as a result. We've got to preserve victories like that, even though we're facing these horrible spending bills with some equally unappetizing taxes. We just keep plugging away every day and winning gradual, pragmatic changes that will preserve the republic for a time when pro-taxpayer public officials are back in charge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear for a second. They got all kinds of weird buzzwords and names and terms, and it's very complicated. But I understand there's three main components to Joe's spending spree. All right, the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 already passed. How much money in general, Pete?
Depending on how you score it, about $3 trillion.
Okay, then you got the Biden signs the $1+ trillion BIF, or infrastructure bill, into law. That's over a billion, or over a trillion, I'm sorry. And now you've got the, quote, Build Back Better Act. That's the only one of the three that has not already passed, ladies and gentlemen. But between all of them, what are we talking about, Pete? I can't even understand the numbers hardly.
Well, we're getting close to $5 trillion. Now, bear in mind that the price tag for all of these things was north of $7, $8, even $10 billion, depending on what window, 5 years or 10 years of the plan you choose to analyze. So we're trying to push back. We're winning in spots. And that's all you can do at a point like this, is to let the opposition know, hey, we are there. We're not going away. Unlike so many others in the political community, Republicans and Democrats, who just say, well, we lost, we're walking away. We can't afford to do that as taxpayers. No matter what, the IRS is still going to be there. The federal government is still going to be spending money and taking it from you in the form of taxes. Your choice is to sit it all out and let it get worse, or to stand up and do what you can to change the situation.
Ladies and gentlemen, $29+ trillion in debt, about to cross the $30 trillion threshold. Literally $5 trillion between these three bills, if we allow it to occur. We've already got close to $3 trillion plus, $4 trillion spent. We're working on more. The American people need to stand up. Congress seems to not listen to the people. Rand Paul tried to put a penny plan in place and save one penny out of a dollar. They laughed at him and mocked him and ignored it. This is what's going on with the deep swamp facing the rest of us, ladies and gentlemen. And you feel like it's a lost cause, but we've got to keep fighting. And when you talk about the $30 trillion, too, that doesn't even count all the unfunded liabilities that we have, or the uncommitted, or whatever you want to call it. We haven't got funding for some of these things. They're just, quote, future unfunded promises. That is probably more than, well, about $200 trillion, right, Pete?
Oh, it does get above 100 easily. And the problem with that is, of course, you have folks like Bernie Sanders in the United States Senate saying, well, we should be expanding Social Security, not trying to just fix its finances. Well, we've been talking about fixing Social Security's finances since the days of Ross Perot, that independent candidate from Texas who ran for president back in 1992. That is almost 30 years ago now. And nothing has changed, unfortunately. We've got to focus on preserving whatever social safety net we the people decide should exist rather than expanding it irresponsibly.
Well, the bottom line is we either ahead of the crisis or ahead of the collapse or the meltdown or whatever you want to say, ahead of the halt to the con game is the best way I can describe it. We have choices to make. But if we wait till the halt to the con game occurs, it won't be on our terms and we won't have choices. That's the reality, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. You know, ask folks from Greece, for example, who didn't really appreciate the tipping point for their economy when they had borrowed so much that investors would no longer buy their government bonds at any kind of reasonable rate. You know, we can't allow that to happen to the United States. We can't just say, well, once we have the collapse, we'll just pick up the pieces and build something new. We'll never get our reputation back as one of the strongest, most stable economies in the world. We have our problems, but again, to be thankful here, we have solutions that can be easily applied if politicians will listen. We have tools as grassroots citizen activists to pressure them to do it. It is hard work. It is often characterized by failure, but I could also point to successes that give me faith that God has blessed this republic to allow us to save it and make it stronger if we're willing to put in the work.
Sounds like a road to hoe, ladies and gentlemen. Sounds like it's beyond our ability to handle it. But you know what? We're the American people, and there's nobody more resilient on the planet to deal with these kind of situations. It's a matter of insistence. It's a matter of don't get crazy. Don't be offensive. Just be insistent and persistent and work on this, ladies and gentlemen, and show our displeasure. And really, if your congressman and or senator will not toe the line and rein in this out-of-control spending, then politely, peacefully use your ballot box to replace them with somebody who will. In the meantime, while they're there, we need to work with them as kindly and as directly and as clearly as we possibly can. And NTU.org is there to help you get that done, to provide you with facts and information where you can not just look foolish, but you can have the upper hand. Knowledge is power. And with that power comes peaceful involvement and saying, look, you work for me. They've already passed the American Rescue Act. They've already passed the big old infrastructure, BIF. I mean, it was like BIF, smack. Bam. We're getting beat up here. But you know what? When it comes to the Build Back Better Act, we're going to put the kibosh to that, ladies and gentlemen. Do we need infrastructure? Yes, we do. But most of this stuff is not really what we're told it is. There's big spending in so many areas that no one's even talking about that have real repercussions that'll affect you in your daily life. Right, Pete?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And let's not forget the state and local level, too, where a lot of success and citizen energy can be put to problems like these. Back in the 1990s in Colorado, there was an activist. He tried to get the Colorado Constitution amended to require voter approval for future tax hikes. It took him three times. He failed three times, but the voters rewarded him. And there's one of the best taxpayer protections in place in Colorado and the entire country. Same in California. The activists there, Howard Jarvis, they failed initially, but they didn't let themselves get put down by it. They kept coming back and back and back until the American people in their state said, you know what, this makes sense. We're going to go with it. And that's what it takes, persistence and dedication.
One president says build back better. The other president says make America great. I say let's take America back. We the people as taxpayers realize there's a legitimate proper role of government that does need funding. But they've literally abused their authority and power to the point where we must call a halt to their con game. And we must do it now so that we can have choices for future generations. Pete Sepp, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We know you got to fly. God bless, sir.
God bless you. Take care.
There he goes. Pete Sepp doing a phenomenal job for National Taxpayers Union. He's the president of the wonderful organization we've been partnering with for more than a couple of decades. NTU.org. Get involved today.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
On another day that will live in infamy, November 22nd, 1963, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, was assassinated while traveling through Dallas, Texas in an open-top convertible. WFFA reports in 1963.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll excuse the fact that I'm out of breath, but about 10 or 15 minutes ago, a tragic thing, from all indications at this point, has happened in the city of Dallas. Let me quote to you this, and you'll excuse me if I am out of breath. A bulletin, this is from the United Press from Dallas. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassin's bullets in downtown Dallas.
In other news, Waukesha, Wisconsin Police Chief Daniel Thompson said a person of interest is currently in custody, but stressed the investigation is very active. A person drove an SUV at a high rate of speed into a parade in the Milwaukee suburb Sunday afternoon. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn. John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energized Health are regular guests on my show, sharing their breakthrough science of inner cellular hydration. They help people burn fat fast, supercharge their energy, boost their immune system, reverse ailments and disease with no painful exercises and no restrictive fat diets. I'm Exhibit A. I've been on the program for over a year now. During the first 88 days, I lost 25 pounds of inner body fat and I gained 10 pounds of muscle. And I've never gained the fat or weight back. I look and feel great. Everywhere I go, people tell me I look 10 years younger. Don't just take my word for it. Go to EnergizedHealth.com and check out hundreds of amazing testimonials. Right now, John and Chelsea are giving my fans a special Christmas gift. Energized Health will pay for your spouse's transformation. Sign up before Christmas and your spouse is free. Go now to EnergizedHealth.com or call 888-444-8895. That's 888-444-8895 or EnergizedHealth.com.
The federal government is continuing to push their COVID-19 vaccine booster shots onto the American people.
Despite indications that immunity can wane, Dr. Anthony Fauci telling CNN State of the Union the time is now to get that booster shot.
We know they're safe and we know they're highly effective in bringing very, very high up the optimization of your protection.
So what does Thanksgiving amongst our loved ones look like?
If you're vaccinated, and hopefully you'll be boosted too, and your family is, you can enjoy a typical Thanksgiving meal, Thanksgiving holiday with your family. There's no reason not to do that. The thing we are concerned about is the people who are not vaccinated.
Fauci telling ABC's This Week it's unclear if boosters will be needed annually. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
NASA is preparing to launch a spacecraft that will attempt to strike an asteroid to see how the crash affects the space object's path. The DART spacecraft is set to launch November 24th from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, with Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips as we celebrate Thanksgiving all week long, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp just does a great job. And I really don't know how to promote NTU more than we do. But they're just a great organization. We've worked with them for literally 20-plus years, a little more. And I'm telling you, if there's a group that is hard-hitting enough to really get the job done, but yet not so extreme that they're kind of out of the mainstream, one that really has the ability to jettison partisan politics, to jettison opinions and, dissents and disputations and separate, they manage just to say, look, let's embrace everyone's efforts. Let's work together. Let's get this job done. And I really commend their leadership, their style, their effort, their involvement, their solution-oriented efforts. I don't really know how to, I don't know really how to focus on it more, but I'm just so impressed with Pete Sepp, with an NTU, the organization, the research they do at the think tank level, the reporting job that they do in terms of, you know what, letting us know really their assessment of your congressmen and senators and how taxpayer-friendly they are, all the way to their breaking down all the spending that goes on to determine what it means for you and me as taxpayers, from their national efforts all the way down to their local efforts on your local level. They'll help fund and partner with and provide materials and research and support for you locally if you create your own organization to stand for tax reform, for solutions. I don't know of a better organization. I really don't. They're just tremendous. It's just amazing, in my opinion, about what they do, how they go about it, the bringing people together. I mean, that's kind of one of the other things that's so critical is that, you know what, they're not into divisionary tactics. They want to include everyone. It's just amazing to watch. I just commend Pete Sepp. What a real hero in America. We need more people like Pete, more organizations like NTU.org. They're just phenomenal. Anyway, a little more recap of Saturday's broadcast. I didn't have a chance to get to it because Lowell had so many topics, and now Pete's just tearing it up, doing a phenomenal job. I want your guests, I want the guests and the partners and the co-hosts to really have their say when they're on the radio. This is the roundtable. It's not just Sam Bushman talking to you. Hopefully I'm one of the people that have influence for better, obviously, but really it's about bringing these people to the table and helping them rock and roll with the content that they're working on, the efforts they're making. Because when you listen to all the different people on the on Liberty Roundtable, you go, wow, it isn't just Sam. This is about the National Taxpayers Union. This is about Campaign for Liberty. This is about Gun Owners of America. This is about the Eagle Forum. This is about, and you go on and on and on to all these groups. That's what the roundtable is designed to promote and bring forward to you. It isn't just Sam babbling. You probably hear enough of that anyway. But it is about all this work being done by so many great people, so many great organizations, and I'm just grateful to be kind of part of it, whether it's the National Taxpayers Union, whether it's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, whether it's promoting Bridey on TV and the great work done by the health ranger Mike Adams and the incredible work done by Alan Keyes and the work done by, I mean, we're just going on and on and on with the people, right? Whether it's citizen reporters like Chris Carlson bringing information to the table, whether it's people like Scott Bradley doing a phenomenal job, Jim Babka from Downsize DC, we're talking about James N. Clymer, with the Constitution Party. I mean, we bring it all to you, baby. It's news the networks refuse to use for a reason. They're not willing to do this. Oh, I forgot about the John Birch Society, the New American. I mean, I can go on and on with people like Alex Newman and people that are just doing a great job, right? I mean, they're just endless. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator, joining us as well. Alex Newman, just so many great people doing such a... Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. The people are endless. The efforts are incredible. The involvement is amazing, and the solutions are front and center. That's who we are. That's what we do on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. All right, recap. We talked on Saturday about jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent of all. Let me say that again. Innocent of all charges. Jury finds a clear case of self-defense. Now, there's some people that don't want that. They want to rage and riot and pillage and plunder and melt down, and they want to investigate it again. Ladies and gentlemen, the judge was there. He's a well-known judge. He's been around for a long time, and he literally ran a great courtroom. And the jury saw the truth. That, you know what? It's a sad tale to tell. But now what you've got is the mainstream press lying about Kyle, lying about the facts of the case, just to ad nauseum. Just misinformation about Kyle Rittenhouse. Case floods social media and TV networks. Now, this is really important. Really, really important, ladies and gentlemen, because remember, the mainstream press and the new media, social media, I should say, Facebook, Twitter, and all that, they want you to believe that we're under fake news. We're telling lies and not telling the real news. So they got to shut Sam Bushman down, right? But now you've literally got the social media and the TV networks all involved in misinformation about Kyle Rittenhouse and the case here. Okay, but no one's shutting them down. Misinformation about Kyle Rittenhouse case floods social media and TV network. Zachary Steeper with the news on this, ladies and gentlemen. TheEpicTimes.com with the reporting. Doing a great job, by the way. All right, they say Kyle Rittenhouse shot three black men. Lie. Lie. Stop. Kyle was white, and he shot white men. All right? They say he traveled across state lines with a gun. He had an AK-47. These are three examples of false information being spread about Rittenhouse, who was, listen, innocent of all charges, according to the jury and the judge. He was acquitted. Okay? Prominent influencers, including lawmakers, and reporters, believe it or not, are sources of some of the misinformation, possibly disinformation, leaving people troubled. On CBS's Face the Nation, on Sunday, reporter Mark Strassman falsely said that Rittenhouse drove in from Illinois armed for battle. On CNN's Cuomo Primetime, Harvard University's Professor Cornell Williams Brooks falsely said that he was carrying an AK-47. The Independent falsely reported late last week that Rittenhouse shot three black men. These are your sources of the false information. Rittenhouse was 17 years old at the time, shot three men, two fatally with an AR-15 in Kenosha, Wisconsin, on August 25th, 2020, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happened. All were white, as is Rittenhouse. Okay, this is not a racial discussion. The gun was bought by a friend who was picked up by the teenager who resided in Illinois from a home in Kenosha. Rittenhouse claimed self-defense, and the jury agreed, clearing him of all charges after video footage and witness testimony during the trial showed that he was literally attacked by all three men. Yeah, as soon as this happened, the mainstream press went into overdrive and lied. They created a narrative that would work with their particular preferred narrative. But as we now know, that led to a good many number of mischaracterizations and what some would say errors at the time. I would say lies at the time. Okay? By now, those media outlets are so committed to their narrative that they can't drag themselves to correct previous errors or provide accurate details. Now, this not only reflects that some media outlets work with, quote, predetermined ideological narratives, but they are also too lazy and or unwilling to report facts as provided in the actual trial. Wow. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been false and malicious press coverage intended to fit this ideological narrative. On balance, ladies and gentlemen, the press has been a destructive force on this story from its beginnings. Yeah. Think about that, folks. Rittenhouse shot the men during riots that followed the police shooting of Jacob Blake in the same city. Now, Jacob Blake was black, and they did shoot him, and it was wrong. Blake was armed with a knife, though. And video footage shows that he resisted arrest while he had a knife. And a previous girlfriend had accused him of sexual assault. That's what the cops have to deal with here, folks. Hang tight. News the networks refused to use straight ahead.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Some would say misinformation. I would say intentional deception about Kyle Rittenhouse floods social media and the TV networks, ladies and gentlemen. And here's my question. Are Facebook and Twitter going to shut down the TV networks' accounts who are peddling this misinformation? Are they going to go ahead and police this like they are everything else? I think not. That's the reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Zachary Stieber with the Epoch Times doing a great job breaking this down and highlighting the misinformation. Now, the networks have an opportunity to correct their misinformation if it was truly inadvertent, as some want you to believe. I say it was intentional, and the proof is they're not going to correct it. The proof is they're not going to backtrack and say, oh, my goodness, we're so sorry we didn't get this correct. That's not the facts. They're not going to do that. And how do I know? Because they're still spinning lies even after the jury said innocent of all charges, not guilty of all charges. You would think that the misinformation would stop then and go, okay, wait a minute. But no, they're doubling down and rioting everywhere in the country now. You don't believe me? All right, check this out. Massive armed mob loots Nordstrom's. The Nordstrom department store, it was so bad bystanders describe the chaos. I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen. Massive armed mob loots Nordstrom department store. Bystanders describe the chaos. Jack Davis with the Western Journal with the piece. They say like a swarm of locusts with working with tactical precision. A mob of looters ransacked a California department store on Saturday night. About 80 people, they say, flooded the Nordstrom's in Walnut Creek just outside. They say San Francisco, but it's really just out right outside of Oakland, California, by the way. But about 80 people flooded the Nordstrom store in Walnut Creek, California, police told NBC. Wow. And they say about 25 vehicles, cars, just blocked the street while the 80-plus people rushed inside, making off with goods before speeding off. I guess they were armed to the teeth with crowbars. Some people got hurt. Yeah. Two people were arrested at gunpoint, but this is a flash mob of destruction going on. They're taking advantage of these, I don't know what you want to call them, court cases and situations where they're not pleased with the outcome. Even Kyle Rittenhouse says he backs Black Lives Matter. And Kyle, I don't mean to be offensive, but oh, poor dear boy, you're so ignorant. The Black Lives Matter people are the ones committing the carnage all across the country. The Black Lives Matter and the Antifa are the reason that you had to go ahead and shoot some people to stop them from abusing you, that you had to enact your self-defense, God-given, inalienable right. Okay? This is serious business, though. So while Kyle Rittenhouse goes free because he's innocent, while Sam Bushman promotes a clarion call for civility, callforcivility.com, the website, if you want to learn more about our efforts there, you literally have Joe Biden spending us into oblivion. Yeah, misinformation about Kyle Rittenhouse being ignored by the same people that shut us down, claiming we're guilty of misinformation. While you have a massive armed mob looting peaceful department stores. Now listen, Walnut Creek, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not your hood. I've been to Walnut Creek many, many times, and I'm telling you, it's a very nice area of Northern California. And how you get this massive armed mob, 80 people, 25 cars involved. Bystanders have to describe the chaos. Tactical precision. Folks, I don't know how to respond to this exactly. I don't know how to really even respond to this. 80 people, about 25 cars were involved. Just blocked the street and rushed into the Nordstrom's, making off with goods before getting in cars and just speeding away, folks. Okay, we are in a serious, serious problem in America. This is a peaceful, wealthy area. This isn't like the hood and it went, you know, awry. Massive armed mob loots Nordstrom department store. I don't even know how to respond to this. Like a swarm of locusts working with tactical precision. This, I don't know how to respond to this. Wow. About 80 people flooded the Nordstrom store. Wow. I don't even know how to really respond. Because what is next in America? And this is kind of what I mean when I talk about what's next in the let's go Brandon idea. Or the Kamala's a whore idea. Or the let's put stickers on gas pumps and violate people's private property. And now this. What's next? Where do we go? Is Walnut Creek one of the places they decide to have less cops or what? But how do you fend off when 80 people roll in there with crowbars and such, armed to the teeth, 25 cars blocking the entrance? It's like we're going to take over and then we're going to bail. Wow. Wow. I don't really know how to respond to this. But there you have it. All right, COVID vaccine deaths, ladies and gentlemen, are out of control. They say COVID vaccine deaths and injuries explode. 30,000 COVID vaccine deaths are reported in a European database. And there's 18,000 on the CDC's site for fatalities in the United States. ArtmoreWND.com with this piece, but they say a total of 30,551 fatalities and 1.1 million adverse events due to COVID-19 vaccines have been reported by the European Union's official database. Whoa. The Europeans, quote, medicine agency cites figures through November the 13th. And they say it's from reports related to the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. The U.S. reporting site, the VAERS database, the CDC's Adverse Events Reporting System, literally reports, listen to me carefully, 18,000 plus deaths. And 1.7 million adverse reactions to vaccinations to date and growing by the hour. The U.S. Health and Human Services Department points out that a VAERS report is not documentation, that a link has been established between a vaccine and an event. Why? Because people report to VAERS by themselves. However, remember that they also have to admit that VAERS is a, quote, passive system of reporting, and that it receives reports from only a small fraction of actual adverse events. Many doctors and physicians are now, nurses, etc., are saying that they've been instructed by their superiors not to report to VARS any harm caused by COVID vaccines. Wow. Now, furthermore, even VARS, which compiles some of the data on VARS, points to an analysis basically done that shows, let's see, I guess it's called VD Access, and they even point to the fact that only 1% of the adverse reactions and the deaths are reported. Folks, this is serious. This is serious indeed. Wow. I don't know how to respond to this. When you only deal with 1% of the vaccine injuries, it's pretty scary. What's worse? They say that the global World Health Organization has a database. So now you got the European database, the American database, and the World Health Organization global database. And this database by the World Health Organization has recorded more than 2.5 million adverse events from COVID-19 vaccines. What do you think of that, folks? By the way, last year, America's doctors, nurses, and paramedics were celebrated as frontline heroes. Today, these heroes are considered rebels, conspiracy theorists. It's just, wow. They even call them potential terrorists. They're all considered so dangerous as to merit the termination. Wow. I don't know how to respond to all this, folks, except to say this. COVID-19 deaths and injuries explode, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Our prayers are with that America's doctors, nurses, those people that were called heroes before. It's our prayer that they are remembered as heroes today. The epic battle over force versus agency is front and center. Whether it be vaccines, whether it be federal IDs, whether it be your right to keep and bear arms, whether it be, I mean, there's so many fault lines at the center of this discussion in America. Americans are divided more than ever before because of what's going on in the country. All right, Facebook and Twitter, for example, are silent on whether Kyle Rittenhouse supporters and support is still banned on their systems. We talked on Saturday about Donald Trump. His team is launching a brand new ad that I don't really see the value of. I don't understand. It's just kind of like, hey, Joe's bad. Consider not letting Joe continue. Okay. What is the call to action in Trump's ad, I would ask? That was Saturday's broadcast. Ron Paul and Sam Bushman endorse Ammon Bundy for governor of Idaho. And Ammon Bundy provides 5 radio commercials, which you've added to our lineup. We added Trump's commercial to our lineup as well. But Ammon Bundy provides an educational message in all 5 of his ads, tied directly to a clear, solution-oriented call to action, folks. All right, that's important. VoteBundy.com is the website where he ties it to the direct action. Now, the IRS seized $3.5 billion in cryptocurrency in 2021, and they expect they're going to gather more in 2022. So much for your security, your cryptocurrency being safe from government, huh? So much for you can't find out who's sending it and whatever. It's transparent transactionally, but it's decentralized and government can't get their hands on it. They've been doing the tune of $3.5 billion in 2021, and they're expecting more in 2022. So don't dip your toe in the crypto. That's all I got to say. Ladies and gentlemen, solutions are always available on your radio. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. Celebrate Thanksgiving all week long, will you please? Ladies and gentlemen, we, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.